So in the book of Ezekiel 47, begin reading verse number 1. Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Verse 4. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. In verse 6, and he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. The Lord being our helper this morning, we'd like to bring the sermon on this thought. How deep are you willing to go? How deep are you willing to go? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And we thank you, Lord, once again for another opportunity to gather here at the Hammond Whiting Care Center to bring your word to your people and to enjoy the fellowship, Father. And I pray that each and every one of us, myself included, takes away as much as possible away from this sermon, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd help me, Lord, to speak the word the way that you'd have me to, that you guide these lips of clay, to be a light to the lost and to encourage your children that are here. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. How deep are you willing to go? The wellspring of God's blessings is there for each one of us if we'll just take it. It flows from His throne just like it is typified here in these verses that we just read as flowing from under the threshold. The blessings flow to us. Now these blessings may start out looking pretty shallow and simple, for lack of a better word. But the closer we get, we find the deeper they run. And soon it ends up being a veritable river flowing for all to enjoy. The blessings that come to me, if I will just take advantage of them, can be passed out to others. We just had the 4th of July yesterday, on Friday. And the company I work for decided in their infinite wisdom to give us the morning off, but work us in the evening. Fireworks in the evening, nothing in the morning. Okay. Needing to sleep in the evening so that I can work versus the fireworks. Yeah, that didn't work out 100%. So what did I do? I went to the church on Tuesday. We have a midweek service on Tuesday. And I requested prayer. I said, hey, I need everybody praying on this. I need the trucks to show up so I can get all the product I need on time. I need to be able to get out to my customers on time. I need my customers to show up on time. Because there's the temptation to get a little overindulging Friday night and sleep in late on Saturday. So I began to pray about it. I'd been praying for a while. Got the church praying about it on Tuesday. And what started off as a little trickle ended up being a giant river for us. Now, I'm not saying this because I want you all to think something great of me showing up here today. That's not it at all. I enjoy getting to come here and have fellowship with you on the first Saturday of each month. And to see your faces here is a huge blessing to me. I've said that before and I'll say it again. And I'm not just saying it to fill time. I truly mean it from the bottom of my heart. And because I get to come here and share this brief church service with you today, others out in the hallways have been able to hear this. And I've had people say, hey, I got to hear you. I've had them tell me all the way down there at the North Nursing Station there that they heard my loud voice. What can I say? If you've got something great to share with people, don't be quiet about it. Let them know. We've got the gospel. We've got the good news of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, salvation for all of eternity if we'll just accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's a river flowing that we all need to jump into and get as wet as we can. And as I said before we got started, we record these services, put them on sermon audio. Now, I don't know what sermons are being downloaded in what parts of the world, but I do know this, that over 100 countries around the world has downloaded from the little church there in Gary, Indiana that I'm from, the Sunrise Baptist Church. They've downloaded. They've got to hear sermons that were preached here at the Hammond Whiting Care Center, there at our church, or at a couple other churches that we've recorded at. And the Lord has let those waters run deep for us. But until we get out there, and until we decide to not just be bystanders, but to get into the water, we'll never know this. We will never see the blessings flow if we don't get involved. And what I'd like to do is show you here in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, four people. And this is in a very general term here, but we're also going to pick on four specific people as well. And the first one is the bystander, the person who's just hanging around. In verse number 1, it talks about how the waters issued out from under the threshold of the house. And it says the waters came down from under the right side of the house. But nowhere do you see that the prophet went in there and got his feet wet. He's just looking on. He's a bystander. The word just slipped my mind there. You got these people that as they see an accident on the expressway, they slow down because they just want to take a peek. Never mind the fact they're about to be in an accident themselves. They're just looking. Okay, they're gawkers. They're just looking. And may I say, one of the first people who came to my mind when I saw this was the man there in John chapter number 5. The man was impotent. He could not walk. And you find this story there in John chapter number 5 that he's by the pool of Bethesda, which if they've got the correct area, archaeologists believe they have, but they're not 100% sure, they found a pool that has these five porches that the Bible talks about. But these porches aren't located right here on the pool. They're not even located right here. They are back a ways from where that pool was. And John chapter 5, verse 5, will start right there. It says, "And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been long now in that time, in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole?" Now that's a pretty good question there. Do you want to be healed? Of course, when Jesus says, "Wilt thou be made whole," he's not talking just physically, but he's talking spiritually. But this man here answered in verse number 7, the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." See, they had to wait for a certain time of the year, and when that certain time would come, the people would gather, and an angel would come down and he'd stir the water. And the first one who got into the water got the healing. That sounds pretty good to me. But I want you to notice five things about this man. Five things about the character of a person who's just a bystander. Number one, this man believed in luck. That somehow he will get what he needs. He's hanging out under the porch. The porch has a roof over it to protect him from the rain coming directly down on him. But that, if he's trying to avoid that water, what about the water there in front of him? Afraid he's going to get wet here, but he's got no problem getting wet there. There's something fishy about this person. The person who's trusting in luck that it'll somehow, some way, work out for them, that somehow they'll get to where they need, they'll get what it is that they need, is a person who's a bystander. They're just not trusting in anything other than blind chance. Notice, secondly, the character of the bystander. They have no faith. Jesus asked if he will be made whole. But this man does not answer the question with a yes or a no. He simply starts to make excuses. And that, that tells us that this man would rather beg than get healed. Because if he got healed, he was afraid that he would now suddenly have to start working. Well, if I can walk, I've got to work, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I have to. Well, what in the world is the point of that? There are too many people out there who are too afraid that they're going to have to do something. You know what? I don't come here to the Hammond Whiting Care Center the first Saturday of the month because I have to. I get to. This is your home, and you have welcomed me into it. That is a privilege for me. The Lord told me that He wanted me to go preach at a nursing home. I says, Lord, I'd really like to do the Hammond Widen Care Center because it's considerably closer to my house. You know what the Lord said? Okay, Dennis, that's where I want you to go. So I came here, I talked to Miss Shanita about being able to come, and she says, come ahead. We can do this time on this particular day of the month. And let me tell you something, it was all stepping out on faith. But the bystander, they don't want to step out on faith. They want to sit back and say, well, here's my excuse. And that's the third character. They are excuse makers. It is never their fault. This man said, when the water is troubled, I have no man to put me in. But while I'm coming down, another steppeth down before me. Sounds a little fishy to me. But you know what? It goes to him possibly being lazy. Bystanders, they do tend to be lazy because they're sitting back here and they are nice and comfortable watching everybody else do the work. They ain't got to do nothing. They are comfortable sitting here. Someone else always gets there first. Well, let me ask this. If this is the pool, and we've already said the porches aren't here, but the porches are set back here, why doesn't he just go and have the guy put him right here on the edge of the pool so that when the waters are troubled, he just flops into the water? Would that not make a little bit of sense? But no, he's too lazy to do it. He's got excuses for it. He is not a risk taker. And that's the fifth point here, the character of the bystander. They are not risk takers. If God just took the time to heal the man who flopped into the water, He's not going to let him drown. Think about that for a moment. If this guy's excuse is, well, if God heals me, I don't know how to swim, I flop into the water, I ain't got someone there to help me in and out of the water, I will drown. He's not thinking about how God's going to take care of him, how God's going to supply his need. He's not worried about that. He's worried about self, and therefore he's not going to be a risk taker, and therefore he is not going to do anything that would be required of him. But if we want to see what God can do for us, we have to get off that comfy porch, stop being bystanders, and get into the water. Can I get an amen right there? Excuse me. There are people, may I say, who don't mind just sticking their feet into the water, though. They'll come up, and just like you go over to the Wahala Beach over here, and they ain't got no bathing suit with them, but they want to get into that cool water. So, you know, they reach down, they take their shoes and socks off, and they'll just stick their feet into the water there. And it cools them. They've gotten a little bit involved. And if they've got a mischievous child around there, they get pushed in. That's for free. I won't charge you on that one. But these people, they don't mind getting their feet wet. Back in our text there in verse number 2 of Ezekiel 47, Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the other gate by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. Verse 3, and when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Now, how would he know that they were to the ankles unless he stepped out into the water? Praise God. I love that old song. I wish I had gotten a copy of the words. But it says, step into the waters. Wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. It talks about how we need to get out there. We need to get our feet wet instead of sitting back here on dry land. These people here don't want to get too wet, but they're willing to get wet. And I thought about that man there in John chapter number 9, the man who had been blind since his birth. And as Jesus and the apostles walked past, they saw him. The apostles asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he's blind? And Jesus said, neither. It was for the glory of God that this was done. So he asks, he goes over to the man to heal him there. And in verse number 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat upon the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. In verse 7, and said unto him, go. Ooh, wait a minute, go. Let's pause here for a moment. This man is blind. Okay? He can't see. How's he supposed to go? But Jesus says, go. Wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. Praise God for that. Miss Willamette was sent to the pole of sent. He went his way therefore. He's blind. But he went. He used a little bit of faith to step out there. He was willing to get a little bit into the water. And washed and came seen. Now, as I was looking at that verse there, Miss Ramona, it surprised me. It says, he came seen. He goes blind, yet comes seen. You know how he was able to do that? Because he knew the way. Not the path that he had to walk, that he most likely stumbled upon as he was making his way to the pool of Siloam. No, no, no. He knew the way. Jesus said there in John chapter 14, verse number 6, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Because he started off by saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the way. He now knew Jesus. So he was able to make his way back to where Jesus was physically because he was able to see him spiritually. He had to do his part and he walked blindly to that water. In our Christian lives, we have literally just enough light in front of us to see that next step. But until we take that next step, all we've got is just enough light in front of us. No wonder we stumble around blindly at times. I wonder what God would have me do. What would God have me do? I don't see nothing over there. Would God have me do something over there? I don't see nothing. The light is right there in front of you. The Bible says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We take that step and we get our feet just a little bit wet. We do just a little bit for the Lord. We show a little bit of faith. The Bible talks about over there in James, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Get our feet a little bit wet there. This man, he got the miracle he needed when he stepped out. When we step out, we will get to where it is we are going. We will get what it is that we are in need of. This man had detractors. Those people who are going to come along and they are going to say this, that, and the other. They are going to be stumbling blocks. They are going to be telling us that we can't do it, that we're nuts, that we're crazy people. We've got to have better things to do with our lives. We've got excuses over here. Let's do this, let's do that. This man found that there were people who were trying to discredit Jesus in verse number 16 of John chapter 9. Others thought that he was a fake, that he'd never really been born blind. They even called his parents in to verify that this was the man who was born blind. Now his parents unfortunately weren't willing to step out on faith. Because when they were questioned, they knew that anyone who agreed with Jesus was going to be thrown out of church, out of the synagogue there. So they said, hey, our son's over 40 years old, ask him, we're out of here. But you know what? That man wasn't afraid of getting thrown out of church. He wasn't afraid of getting thrown out of that synagogue one bit. He said, Jesus is the one who healed me. Jesus is not a sinner. He is the Son of God. And He is the one who has saved my soul from eternity in hell. And He is the one that I'm proudly going to proclaim. Hallelujah! He stepped out into the water. And then he waded in a little bit deeper. Yeah. Are we willing to? We're going to run into those people who are going to say it's all made up. We're going to run into those people who are going to say it's all in our minds that we're crazy. They're going to want to tear us down. Don't let them stop you. They're going to try to knock you down. Okay, this is the gospel. Give them the gospel one more time and keep on going for the Lord. Go ahead and get your feet wet. You'll find you like it. It's like those people who go over here to the beach here and they put their feet in the water. They find they like it. They like to go in a little deeper. And the next thing you know, they got the shorts pulled up as far as they can. Their kneecaps are wet. They've waded out so far. And they wish they can go in even deeper. Don't be one of those people wishing you can go in deeper, but you've held yourself back because you ain't ready for it. Amen. Go ahead and wade into the water. Over there, back in our text of Ezekiel, verse number 4 of chapter 47. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. This man was wading out here. And that reminded me of over there in 2 Kings chapter number 5. About the Naaman, the Syrian general. And this man was a leper. And he came to the king there. And you can find his story in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 25. This man realized that he needed to get something. That there was more out there than what he had. So he comes to the king. Let me back up. He has a maid, a servant, a slave girl, who's a Jewish of descent. And she'd been captured but turned into a slave. And she's come to appreciate her master. She's come to love him. And she goes to him and says, there's a man in Israel who can heal you. But you got to go to him. He's a prophet of God. So Naaman goes to the king and gets the king's blessing. The king sends him over there to the king of Israel. Wrong direction, but at least he's stepping into the water. He's got a toe in the water right now. Gets over there and the king of Israel says, hey man, you're trying to start a war here. You know what? As we're trying to step into the water, Satan says you're trying to start a war. Problem is the war's already raging. Okay? Don't let that dissuade you any. Hey man, Satan wants to buffet you and knock you back. Don't worry about him. You just keep marching on for the Lord. God told Elisha, says, hey, I've sent Naaman into Israel. I've sent him here for the purpose of him getting healed. You need to go and give him this message. So he goes to the wrong source, but there's what we call an undercurrent in the water. It feels one way here on top, but underneath you feel it working down there. Well, God just sent an undercurrent Naaman's way. So the king says, hey, got to go see Elisha. So as he's going to see Elisha, here comes Elisha's servant Gehazi. And he comes to Naaman the Syrian general. And tells him, says, go dip yourself 7 times in the waters of Jordan and you'll be healed. But you know what? Naaman got mad. He's a great Syrian general. He's here with a letter from the king of Syria demanding that he be healed. The king of Israel says, go see the prophet of Israel, Elisha. Elisha doesn't come out to see him. He sends a servant. Sends a messenger. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 11, but Naaman was wroth, angry, and went away and said, behold, I thought he surely will come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abba and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, excuse me, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not go and wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. But there's another undercurrent coming his way. See, in verse 13, and his servants came to him and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? Okay, now how many times have we had in our lives where we've sat here saying, you know, I just feel like God wants me to do something. And I need to do something. And obviously it must be to go save a busload of nuns that's about to crash over the side of the road or go rescue the children from the orphanage that's about to burn down. It's something dramatic we come up with in our minds. Come on, think about it here. I've done it myself. Not having to do such things, but you know, great things. But it turns out all that God's wanting us to do is some little something. Go to the nursing home and share the Word of God with the people there. Go see a youth there in the church who's struggling and become his genuine friend. Encourage him. Some little something like that makes such a huge difference. I wish I could remember the order of the preachers. But there's this, all these great preachers from the late 1800s on through the early 20th century. And this guy got saved and preached and he led this young man to the Lord. And this young man now became the next great preacher. And he led this young man to the Lord. And he went on to become the next great preacher. And on the names go. And it's marvelous. But it didn't start off with a great preacher. It started off with a Sunday school teacher. Teaching Sunday school. And out of it, the young man got saved. And became the first in that line of great preachers. All because someone did that one little thing. And Naaman is being told here, says, hey, If it was some great thing, you'd have no problem running off and doing it. How much rather then when He saith to thee, wash and be clean? Well, Naaman says, you know what? You got a point there. So in verse 14, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He stepped out there into the water. He got waist deep into the water and he dipped down 7 times until he come back up the 7th time and his skin is soft and supple. And it's like, oh man, it's like a baby's bottom. It is perfect. No more was there leprosy upon him. Why? Because he waded out into the waters there. And the man got saved. And I believe that one day we're going to see Naaman, the Syrian general, there in the gates of heaven. Not guarding the gates, but in there praising God for what God had done for him that day. Sorry, what can I say? Like I said, I get excited. I got some good news here. You don't want me to get excited, you know, give me the newspaper. We'll read that for a little while. I'll get bored and I'll go home. But we're coming down the home stretch here. We see those who wade into the water. Those who are getting their feet wet. And we see the bystanders. But may I say fourthly here in closing, we find the ones who are left speechless. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 5 and 6 says, afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? I just pause right there. Every time I read it, I can't help but think, this guy who has now been, for lack of a better word, he has now been drug out into the water. It is over his head. The Bible says he could not pass over it. So he's underwater. And he gets asked this question, Son of man, have you seen this? I can't help but imagine that this guy sitting there, see it? I'm about to drown in it. But he doesn't say that. Why? Because he's been left speechless. The verse finishes off, says, then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the water. And I got to thinking about someone else who went in over their head. There's a woman there. She's recorded in the Gospels. Mark chapter number 5, specifically, verses 25 through down through 34, we read her story. It says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. That issue of blood, according to the law, the Mosaic law, said that she had to stay away from everybody. The crowd's over here. She had to stay over here. And she had to shout, unclean. 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 Because she could not contaminate anyone else. The Bible says, goes on to say that she suffered many things and many physicians. And it's been all that she had. And was nothing better, but rather grew worse. They didn't have the doctors like we do nowadays. They had a bunch of crackpots who knew a little bit, just enough to be dangerous, I suppose, and anything they can come up with, they would do it. One, I can't remember everything about it, was a cure was that you'd have to go to a fork in the road, stand there in the fork in the road and do something, and that was supposed to dry up the blood. And, I mean, there was a bunch of other things. I'm sure she had to ingest all different things. And I imagine the doctors had quite an eyeful looking at her, trying to find out what was wrong with her, causing her to bleed constantly and thinking they could fix it. But it never helped her. No matter what she drank, ate, did, didn't matter. Stand on her head still didn't matter. She just got worse. And she's broke. But she heard one day of a man called the healer. She heard one day of a man called Jesus. And it just so happens that he's going to pass into her town now. So she says, you know, if I can just reach out and touch, but the hem of his garment, just right there, right at that hem, I could be made whole. You know what that was with Miss Wilma? That was faith. She required faith for her to do that. You see, if she got caught, she was in a lot of trouble. It was not a good thing at all for her. Ooh, she just defiled everybody in that crowd. But she was willing to step out on faith. Here Jesus comes into town and He's being thronged. Everybody's pressing on Him. Everybody's reaching out trying to touch Him. Everybody's trying to get His ear. The apostles are trying to protect Him best they can. But here comes the crowd and here's the woman. And I could just imagine her. She's going to get down into the water to the mass of people that's coming her way. She can't just stand there. Because if she stands there, she gets pushed off to the side. And she knows the crowd's too big. She'll never get to Jesus. You got to remember, He's probably in the middle of this crowd. So if she goes around the side, she'll never get there. She certainly can't jump over the crowd to where Jesus is. If she stands there, she'll get knocked down, pushed out of the way, whatever. I can just imagine her getting down here. Lord, God Almighty, please let Him pass my way. And as the crowd begins to come over her, they don't recognize her. She's down here in a position where they can't see. But as the crowd's passing by, she's just kind of looking up. Here He comes. And she reaches out and touches His garment. The Bible says here in Mark 5:29, and straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. That happened immediately as soon as she touched the hem of His garment. Why? Because she allowed herself to be overflowed. But verse 30 says, and Jesus immediately, at the same time she's being healed, Jesus knows what's going on, knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press. Remember, everybody's pushing, so as He's going to stop, I can just picture Him being pushed back a couple steps. But He asked, who touched my clothes? And the disciple said unto Him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest, who touched me? Are you nuts? Who touched you? Everybody's touching you, Jesus. Come on. Get with the program here. But verse 32, and He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. She'd been left speechless. Just like the prophet back there in Ezekiel. She'd been overflowed with what was going on. She couldn't say a word at first. But then verse 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. She got up and she came and said, Jesus, this is what's going on. I've had this issue of blood the last 12 years. And I've lost all my money. And I've gone through all these things with these physicians. But I knew if I could just touch the hem of Your garment, I could be made whole. Verse 34, and He said unto her, daughter. Back in verse 25, it says, and a certain woman. Now Jesus calls her daughter. How is that for being made whole? How is that for getting the healing that you need? Not just physically, but spiritually. She's been brought into the family of God. Why? Because her faith was put to action. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. She finally got to where she could give her testimony, and her testimony was overflowing. It was something that was able to pass out to everybody else. You say, preacher, how do you figure that? Because it's here in the Gospels. We were able to read about it. We were able to preach about it here this morning. It's been preached for centuries. That's that river that overflows that everybody's able to get something from. But while he was being thronged, the press of the people packed tight about him. Kind of like a bus at quitting time. You know, those buses get all jam-packed full of people on their way home. But this woman says, you know what? I can't jump over. I can't go around. I've only got one choice. I'm going to let the mass pass over me. I'll drown in the sea of humanity if need be. Because I've got to get that. She did what she had to do to get the blessing. Are we willing to do what we have to do to get the blessing? Go and ask prayer. Hey, everybody, I need prayer, so I got to be able to get home in time, get cleaned up, maybe spend a little time with the family before I head over to the nursing home and preach. I need everybody to cooperate out there on the route. Are we willing to put ourselves on the line like that? Are we willing to put ourselves on the line and say, hey, it's the first Saturday of the month, I want to go hear some preaching? Are we willing to do what the Lord would have us to do? some screwy idea. Lord, how in the world do you think that you could possibly use me for this? This makes no sense. But God says, I want you to do it. Are we willing to step out there and do it? Are we willing to use our faith, or are we just willing to sit back here as a bystander? It's all good in the hood. I don't need to do nothing. Everybody else has got it. I am good as is. Well, if we step a toe in that water, we might find we like it. I have two questions for you this morning. Number one, are you willing to step out on faith? And number two, simply is this, how far are you willing to go? You can go as far as you want when you're going with the Lord. And if it's at a dead stop, that's as far as you'll go. But if it's at a full run, you're going to dive into the waters. You're going to find them cool and refreshing. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. We thank You, Lord, for another opportunity to present Your Word to Your people here. I pray, Father, that everyone was able to get something out of the sermon here this morning, especially myself. Help us, Father, Lord, to step into the waters, to wade out a little bit deeper, to see all that You've got there for us. There's so much there waiting. Thank You, Lord, for all You've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.